Join us today for a celebration of Pyromania. No, not the thing you can get in trouble for arson for. We're talking about Def Leppard's third studio album. In addition to setting the standard for drum sounds for like the next 10, 12 years, this record bridged the gap, you know, between the band's penchant for heavy rock and its also love of pop sensibilities. Got a little bit of both on this record here. So we will give you all the dirt and facts that you probably didn't know about this classic hard rock album from Def Leppard, Pyromania. Stick around.
You're listening to the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus, changing rock history one podcast at a time.
Hello, my brothers and my sisters. The Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is here to help you rock out with your talk out. I said talk. And so we're here. We are live. I think kind of we're having some connectivity issues with that internet thing. I don't know if you guys ever heard of it. I mean, probably nobody even uses the internet anymore.
It seems pretty good, though.
But so, anywho's, it's we are here. We are live. It is a Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is LudiniRockandRollCircus.com. Lots of great content there. More coming in 2020. We are really excited about it. We have January was kind of a practice month. And Neil Peart died and a bunch of weird stuff, and the whole thing got messed up. And a lot of people got sick. It's been a very weird January's weird, but 2020, we've decided, right, it's the official. I mean, February is the official start of 2020. So there we are. Ludini Rock and Roll Circus is with you. We're getting ready to rock out with you, talk out. But speaking of talking out, let's talk out about our sponsor. Like the little, see how I did that?
You know? I got you.
Wolf's Customs. You know, there's no reason, guys, to get on stage with a boring looking guitar. I mean, cry money. Like, what are you doing? The audience wants to be wowed and dazzled, not just by your talent, but by the visual aspect of it. So this is where Wolf's Customs can help. You want to go to wolfscustoms.online and talk to my good friend, Chris Thunder Wolf Dodson, and he will set you up with a custom badass refinish job on your Strat, Telecaster, Les Paul Jr., Paul Reed Smith, whatever you got, Ibanez, ESP. He works with all letters of the alphabet equally and all guitar brands as well. So check him out. Go to wolfscustoms.online. I am also really excited because other than Chris Thunderwolf tongue-tied tonight, my other favorite person in the entire wide world of sports is here with me, Miss Lily Visick.
Sports.
It is a wide world of sports.
You don't even like
some
sports.
Some of us is water sports.
Yes, water sports. So hi everyone. First off, I'd like to thank Lou for dancing on Saturday night at the Rail Yard to the Rivertown Revival Band, who are awesome, by the way.
Rivertown Revival Band, just give me a real quick shout out. I'm talking too fast. I shouldn't have done that bump of Coke before we
That's
started.
That's the problem.
These guys did very unusual covers. They did songs that like a lot of cover bands won't touch.
Yeah, they got some deeper
they did
ones.
Like From the Beginning by ELP. They did You Can't Always Get What You Want by the Stones, and they had the instrumentation and the vocal power to pull those off really, really well. So yes, I had a good time, and there's video of me dancing.
Go to Lily's page. It was a good time, and then the rest of the weekend I did bridesmaid stuff because I'm the maid of honor at my sister's wedding, so that's stuff I'll be doing over the weekend.
Are you going to be the bridesmaid of Frankenstein?
Yes.
That'd be awesome.
I might do that.
They didn't make that.
We'll see.
Let's do that. Let's make that a thing next week.
Okay.
So, okay, and Lily, we always say it at the end, but we can say it right now. You have your own show.
I do have my own show. It's Hot Licks with Lily 6 on Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern. I will be having the band Fear on from Ontario, Canada. So check them out whenever you check into my show at 6 p.m. on Thursdays. Get the app for free, Rock Rage Radio. Also, I do want to do one quick thing. The Subalpine, for those of you who live locally, is in need of our help. They're doing a GoFundMe. They're going to try to close the Subalpine. They need about $7,000. So donate.
They have a gig there. They can't close it.
Right. So donate $5, $10, what have you. No, don't blow your wad, but just, you know, maybe a little something to help out. They have their GoFundMe on Facebook under Subalpine Society.
All right. Take care of the Subalpine Society. Those guys have been big supporters of like serious rock.
Everything.
For a while now, and for a couple of years in Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. and we need them. We need them.
It's a great venue.
So, hey, guys, we always start with something, with some music, so we're going to do that today. This is Grand Royale, Saved by Rock and Roll on the Ludini Rock and Roll. The song they played immediately after the Democratic debate the other night, because the only thing that's going to save us is rock and roll, because those morons definitely aren't. Saved by Rock and Roll by Grand Royale. Oh, they have a very clever name with an E at the end.
Wow.
They're very like French or something. I don't know. GrandRoyaleOfficial.com. Those of you who are listening live or trying to listen live, I apologize. We have wonky internet, so we may be popping in and out. If we pop off, we'll pop back on, won't we, Lily? We're just popping. We are popping tonight. So we are talking. Oh, my God. Do you remember where you were when you first heard Photograph, or when you first heard Too Late for Love, or when you first heard Rock of Ages? Do you remember where you were? That's the kind of album this is. This is a record that defined an entire generation. This record, as I said in the introduction, changed how the snare drum, actually all the drums sounded in a rock band. And there were a lot of artists that really were trying to cop that sound moving forward. These guys also really showed that we can rock and we can give you really catchy songs that could compete with some the likes of somebody like Michael Jackson. That is what this record did. Regardless of what happened after, because there's a lot of people who really felt like, you know, they didn't like the direction the band took after this. But most people will agree that this is an amazing marriage of the more fun, singable kind of pop tunes with the great guitar
work.
Yeah, and the great guitar work and the absolutely amazing drums. Produced by Mutt Lange, who also produced an album you may have heard of called Back in Black. I don't know. Just a little something, a little side there. And became Mr. Shania Twain about 10 years or so later. But
wow, he'd hate to hear that.
So Lily, our resident rock historian, has some factoids. About Pyromania by Def Leppard.
I have several things. I've got song by song, and I've got some little background here. And I don't think we're live anymore on video.
Okay, well, while you are telling the factoids, let me take a look and see if I can.
Pyromania, but came out January 20th, 1983. I was a year old. I was freshly a year old. This is my second favorite album by the band, and I only say that because I'm stubborn and I don't like to go with the crowd pleaser on everything, so Hysteria is my number one, but this is my number two. This is the third studio album released by the band, as Lou said, through Vertigo Records in Europe and Mercury Records here in the United States. The first album featuring guitarist Phil Collin. He replaced the founding member Pete Willis. Produced by Mutt Lange, again, as Lou said. Mutt Lange also does some backing vocals and the spoken nonsense words on the beginning of Rock of Ages. I don't know if you knew that.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I did my research as well.
Okay. That's fine. This was the album that shifted the band away from their traditional heavy metal roots to the more radio-friendly glam rock sound. This was the sound that helped them find massive mainstream success. It charted number 2 on the Billboard 200 and kept from the top, as Lou again said, by Thriller. Sold 10 million copies in the U.S. and is certified diamond. The album was partially recorded.
Stop for a second.
Okay.
What is diamond? Do you know?
10 million copies.
Really?
Yes.
When did it reach diamond? Do we know?
A while ago. I didn't get the year on it, but it's been...
It didn't, like, reach diamond, like,
no,
in the
not
first
immediately.
Year.
No, but yeah, not recently either. The album was partially recorded with Pete Willis, and his rhythm guitar tracks appear on all the songs, but he was fired due to excessive alcohol abuse, which some bands just don't put up with after a while. And the songs on the album are catchy and driven by melodic hooks and not the heavy guitar riffs. Although you do still hear in some of the songs the heavy guitar riffs, they just sort of shifted away from that to make it more commercially successful.
There is great guitar on that record. It's just there's just some other sounds there that kind of blend it in and give it a little bit more of a pop kind of vibe. But I mean, I think that the guitar riff on Photograph is a really cool. There's some great solos. You know, not great solos like in the Van Halen tradition of great solos, you know, like fast, technical, shreddery kind of stuff, just but good rock and roll playing.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of harkens back to maybe a few years earlier in the 70s, the way that somebody like maybe Peter Frampton or, you know, Mark Bolan might approach guitar work. You know, a little bit more straightforward, a little bit more on the melodic side. The guitar solo was part of the hook of the song, and I think that that definitely comes through on that record. Are you going to mention TD?
Mm-mm.
You're not going to mention TD?
Why?
I'm going to mention TD then. Because this is not only a Def Leppard album, it's not only a Mutt Lange album, but it's also a Thomas Dolby album. Not a Thomas Dolby album, but Thomas Dolby played keyboards.
He was on it, yes, keyboards.
Thomas Dolby, Blinded by Science.
He went by a different name on the album, though.
Yes, what did he call? He had a goofy
name.
Damn
it if I can remember now. But he's also responsible for Dolby Digital. I don't know if you knew that.
That
guy's a genius.
Yes, yes. What are we doing wrong?
I know, right? He came up with like the original ringtones for phones.
What?
Yeah, like the do-do-do-do, like the little, yeah. He's a genius. Not only did he do ridiculous sort of songs in the 80s and did some keyboard for Def Leppard, he's also, you know, technically awesome.
He's technically awesome. And
he's
awesomely
a very smart
technical.
Man. I get, apparently he is some sort of a genius, though.
So, okay. He is some sort of a genius. But no, that blinded by science. That blinded me with, she blinded me with science.
Oh, science!
That, yeah.
I like the old guy.
They blinded me. It's I'm trying to go to a webpage to give some sort of reference material, and guess what?
Your internet's not working.
I can't get it. So it is definitely some sort of wonky internet thing. You know, I pay extra.
And of course.
I have the top package because of all this shenanigans. Yeah, I'm definitely moving the F out of Canonsburg.
Mine doesn't work like that.
That's because you don't. Well, it's probably fine if all you're doing is looking at porn like you typically do.
I look at porn on my phone.
Well,
get it right.
Wi-Fi, hello. And so
he went as Booker T. Boffin.
Booker T. Boffin.
That sounds like a porn name.
Yes, but if you're trying to do anything like sort of professional, the Canonsburg Comcast system is a POS.
Comcast.
So. What else you got there, Lil? What do you want to get into some songs?
Do you have
some more factoids you want to talk about?
I have stuff about the songs that have fun little trivia things on it. So I have it like...
Now, first of all, how many tracks are on this album?
I think there was 12. 1, 2...
Oh, we have to count. Do, 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 do,
10.
Do. 10 tracks.
Yeah. There's 10 tracks.
Please form your answer in the form of a question. Thank you.
By me. In the form of a question.
What album has 10 tracks? Pyromania by Def Leppard.
Bite Me. In the form of a question.
Yes.
We're going to go from front to back.
I'll take
Not
classic
the way to
rock
wipe yourself.
Albums, Alex, for 400. Thank you.
Yeah, the way to wipe yourself, front to back.
Yeah, don't ever do back to front.
You can just get some infections. That's all.
Some infection. Anyway, so speaking of infection, this album was like an infection for your e-hole.
God, there's something wrong with you.
I'm just having a good time. It's my podcast.
Anyway.
It's my podcast and I'll laugh if I want to.
The first song on the album is Rock, Rock, Till You Drop. Originally, it was supposed to be titled Medicine Man. It had different lyrics completely.
What is it called? What?
Medicine Man.
Oh, Medicine Man.
And didn't even have the same lyrics.
So good thing they didn't change it because they would interfere with my song, Medicine, and then we'd have had to have words.
Or would you have words?
Would have to have a talk.
It's a good opener for this type of album. It's about rock and it's about the rock and roll lifestyle, living it up, anything goes. Sort of underrated a lot, very forgettable for some people because there are bigger songs on the album, more popular songs on the album. But I think it's a great opening song.
Is one of those songs when it comes on the radio when you're driving on the highway, you crank it all the way,
which
up
isn't often,
and you floor it. I think this is a great tune. It is not the biggest song on the album, but it definitely got played on the radio. I had definitely heard it on the radio. This was what would happen, guys. There was something that you young whippersnappers aren't familiar with called album rock.
Yes.
And yes, the band would put out singles, but album rock stations, like the big rock station here in Pittsburgh that my hero Scott Paulson was on, would play album cuts. So you wouldn't just hear the singles, they would play album cuts. And if people responded to those album cuts, they would kind of watch that. They would start to work them in. Maybe not on the, you know, every hour on the hour kind of playlist, but they would be worked in maybe once a day, something like that, a few times a week, because I knew that there was a certain segment of the audience that responded to that song. And I believe Rock Till You Drop was one of those songs. It wasn't a big hit, but you did hear it occasionally.
So you knew it.
Yeah, so you knew it. It's a great tune. If you don't know it, you need to go back. If you don't know this record,
you should probably go buy it. Yeah. Buy the actual album.
Maybe I'll get this on vinyl. This is a good one.
I have it on vinyl.
I'm going to get this on vinyl. I have two turntables and a microphone, so I think I'll get it on vinyl. So what do you got? So what's next?
Just kidding. Next song is Photograph, which is the lead single from the album. It's described as something you can't get your hands on. That's the meaning of the song. On its release, it went to number one and stayed there for 6 weeks. In 2008, they performed the song on CMT Crossroads with Taylor Swift. Not a fan, but a lot of people liked it, so I'll be quiet about it. But 2013, it was featured on Grand Theft Auto 5, the video game. The song actually has two music videos. There is an uncensored version that has a knife scene at the beginning. And the one we mostly know is the one with the cat, you know, the stationary cat in the scene, replaces the knife scene. Plus, other things were added, just little things you wouldn't really notice. It has been covered by Janie Lane for a Leopard tribute album called Leopard Mania. And All American Rejects covered it. Santana covered it.
Yes.
A melodic death metal band called Night Rage covered it. And it has been performed at every live Def Leppard performance, traditionally as the last song.
On the Santana cover, Daughtry does the vocals.
Yes. I knew that.
It sounds pretty good.
I like it. I like it.
It's interesting because there's some congas, and there are some there. He does that. He plays a kind of little bit more of that because he's Santana, but there's a Santana-ish type guitar. So it has a smidge. I don't want to tell you that it sounds like Oye Como Va or anything like that.
Wow.
But it has like a...
It's got that flavor.
It's been like flavored. It's like somebody dipped that song in salsa. That's what I'm trying to say. It was dipped in salsa. And it's got a good vibe. And I think Chris Daughtry nails it. To be fair to Joe Elliott, though, they dropped the key down. It's not a whole step. They dropped the key a little bit.
So it's that, different.
Joe Elliott, he ain't no joke. He is his... I'm a singer... And he is up there in terms of...
I like watching him.
In terms of in terms of range. Some of their stuff is very difficult to cover. So you often see the girl singer in the lounge act singing
the song.
Songs.
Like What's-Her-Face would have over the weekend.
Shelly sang Pour Some Sugar on Me when we did it in the Shelly Duff Band. So what do you got next?
Next on the list of tracks is Stage Fright. One of the harder rock songs on the album, again, a little underrated. It's got a ton of energy. Song is basically about picking up groupies, which was just an everyday occurrence.
You can't say that on a podcast.
I can say whatever I want, except for swearing, but which was an everyday occurrence for the bands, especially in those days. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anything more trivial on this song, but if you listen to it, it is definitely one of the harder songs on the album. Less sugar, more guitar.
Less sugar, more guitar.
So yes, Stage Fright. It's a good song.
Interesting. There's a track that is on the cassette version only, and I'm going to see if you mention it.
I probably won't. So, because I don't have the cassette.
Okay.
I have the vinyl.
Let's maybe the internet will come back on. Maybe it won't. Let's listen to another song. This is "We Rule the Night" by Firewolf. Firewolf is promising me they're going to do another record here in the next year. So let's hope they do it. I kind of got Lily turned on to these guys. If you dig the sort of Ronnie James Dio-esque kind of metal, you're going to dig Firewolf. We Rule the Night, Firewolf and the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. We'll be right back. That is Firewolf, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you a little bit about how to find some Firewolf for yourself. You want to go to facebook.com/firewolfband, and this is the wolf that's got the little E after the F. Okay? It's good. They're like, you know, they're
Wolfie.
Like they're like Grande Royale. Look at the fancy with the little E there.
You're so fancy.
Anywho's, it's Firewolf. Open the show with Grand Royale. We are going to be playing
Magnum
a little bit later. So we are talking about one of my favorite records of all time. And by the way, this is going to be a monthly feature. We were going to do this the second week in January, but Neil Peart died.
So, I have something to tell you a little bit later about that, by the way.
So we're starting again. Like I said, February is the official start. So we're going to be doing the second week of every month this year is we're going to take an album and we are going to kind of explore it and maybe give you some unknown facts about it. And we're going to try to cover a lot of different territory. We picked this record because it's huge and people know.
Wasn't the anniversary like in January too, though, when we were like going to do it? Yeah, it was. That's when we were going to do it.
And then we're going to mix it up. So some of the stuff is going to be, you know, we're going to do some uber heavy stuff. We're going to do some stuff that's maybe more pop. You might hear some alternative stuff. You might hear stuff that kind of works in the sort of punk rock vein. Anything with like big loud guitars in your face. That's what we are about here. So let's return then to Pyromania.
The next song on the record after Stage Fright is Too Late for Love.
Oh, I love this song.
I'm going to
so
sneeze.
Much.
Oh, my God.
I love this song.
Power ballad added to the mix that reached number 9 on the charts. The music video was filmed after supposedly hanging out with Elton John and Meatloaf over some champagne. The video, however, is highly edited with many sections taken out of the song. Almost a minute of the song is taken out of the actual music video.
And
that's mostly the guitars.
You get back on mic. You love mic.
But that's mostly guitars.
What I understand, but was it edited for like video because they had nudity or something?
No. It was the music that was edited.
Oh, it was too long.
Yeah. Which was very sad because that had some great guitars.
That is some great work. Well, you can listen to the record.
Well, yeah.
That was one of those songs. Again, it was a little more of an album track at first, and it did pick up some steam. That was a song I thought was so amazing. I love the like stuff going on and the imagery of it. And that song just captured my freaking imagination. She puts out the light, you know, and with a cast of thousands waiting, you know, it's just like, it just got this amazing visual to it, which I freaking love. And it's slow enough that you can understand all the words, but it's still really rocks.
It's still rock.
That song rocks. It just does. And, but yeah, that was, I mean, you know, Journey and all those cats were doing power ballads and everything, but this is a power ballad with kahunes.
Mm. With some butt behind it.
Yeah. It's got some butt.
I can't say all the words.
So, anyways, Too Late for Love. Great track. Go ahead. What do you got next?
And the next one is Die Hard the Hunter. Again, an overlooked song due to more catchy songs on the album. It's a song about the Vietnam War and how it affected the people involved. It's got that whole helicopter and alarm sound at the beginning of the song, which makes it pretty cool, which sort of a little bit reminds me of Iron Maiden in a way because they use stuff like that. And also about 3.5 minutes into the song, there is an amazing guitar solo that's not to miss, in my opinion. So Die Hard the Hunter, one that we need to look at if you haven't.
All righty. And
I miss it?
Does Die Hard the Hunter round out side one?
Yes.
Okay.
There's one I'm missing? Okay. From the cassette.
It's only on the cassette because it's not on there. And okay. I don't even know the name of it.
Oh.
But there is a track that as the side one ends, and I think it's because they knew. First of all, this album took a long time to make, and the record company was calling. Excuse me.
We need to make money.
You know, we gave you like money like 7 years ago, and just kind of wondering what's happening. And they worked and worked and worked. I'm going to get to this track in a second, explain why this track is important. They worked and worked and worked. And they had like a couple of minutes, a few bars of a drum track. So after like 6 months, they send this 4 bars of a drum track. And it sounded so amazing. The record company like either gave them more money or like got off their back. Said, no, go ahead. And the drum, I've mentioned this several times. Now, the drums on this record changed drum sounds forever. Everybody wanted that big gated,
the crash.
Listen to the Cars album. Who's going to, Drive?
Okay, yeah.
Listen to that snare. That is directly derived from... In fact, I don't know, Mutt Lange may have produced that album. He may have. I have to go back and look it up. I'm thinking that maybe he did, so I apologize, guys, about that. I will check that out during the next break. But that sound, and it's very similar to the Phil Collins drum sound on In the Air Tonight, but switched up a little bit, changed around a bit. Done with a combination of real hits and samples and a drum machine, kind of all kind of coming together. But the way that he did it, the way that Mutt Lange put that together for them, it doesn't sound techno. Okay. It doesn't sound like a Thomas Dolby record or Howard Jones record.
Okay.
Right? So, anyhow, this is a revolution. And I think that they knew that. So, when they made the cassette, if some of you don't remember, cassettes, sometimes you would have extra tape at the end.
Yeah.
You couldn't get both sides to work out exactly right. So there was a couple of minutes extra, and it is just that drum sound.
Oh, that's kind
of
fun.
For like a minute and a half.
I'll have to get the cassette if I ever find it now.
And there's some weird sounds around it and everything, just to kind of, we had to fill that out. So, put that on there.
I have to go spelunking.
Yeah, so check it out. We are flipping over to side two now with one of my absolute favorite Def Leppard songs of all time. What is it?
Fooling.
Yep. You always have to go fa.
Also, one of my favorite songs on the album. Actually, only reached number 28 on the Billboard. The video features Billy Idol's then girlfriend Perry Lister playing the harp with her eyes closed. But yeah, great song.
You gotta be fooling.
One that everybody sings to because of the fooling part. But yeah, if you want to say anything else about that,
great. Great work, great guitar work. Has almost what? It's like a mid tempo kind of thing, though. It's not quite a power ballad, but more of a kind of a mid tempo thing.
Like not harder,
but just got that good driving kind of thing.
It's catchy
too. There's great guitar. Yeah, and who doesn't? This one doesn't. What did it reach again?
28.
So I remember that song being like a lot bigger, and that is because again, the kids that listened to the rock stations that heard more album tracks heard that song a little bit more than probably the person who was just like listening to the pop station. They may not even know that song or maybe vaguely remember it.
That's sad.
Yeah. So it was a different era. Just again, a different era. So what do we have? So what's...
Oh, you know what's next. You know what's next. In other words, Rock of Ages.
All right.
My favorite Def Leppard song, period. For many reasons that some of you know and some of you don't, which it's been revealed on many drinking nights why I like this song. But anyway, this song reached number 16 on the Billboard. The four words at the beginning spoken by Mutt Lange mean absolutely nothing. It's German gibberish. The band jokes and says it means running through the forest silently. The lines, "It's better to burn out than fade away," are a reference to Neil Young's song, "Hey, Hey, My, My." Also later used in Kurt Cobain's Suicide Note. And the band was in a studio when Joe Elliott stumbled upon a children's choir hymn book and inside said Rock of Ages, which prompted him to write the lyrics. And now I feel dirty as to why I like that song because of that.
There's a couple things we need to touch on.
Okay.
First of all, those four words at the beginning. Here's what's happening in the studio, okay? This is where this comes from. First of all, Mutt Lange is known as a taskmaster. You play it. No, you do it again. No, do it again. Nope. Do it again. Nope. Do it again. Nope. Do it again. Nope. Do it again. Like, people would freak the F out because he was just like, nope.
He's anal.
He's kind of like the Stanley Kubrick of, like, record producers. Just was like, do it again. Nope. Do it again. No, that's good. Do it again. All right. Do it again. So after they got tired of going 1, 2, 3, 4. So they started just making up words. And it isn't just on this song. It's like the whole record.
Mm.
But that was their favorite. They thought it was, you're in the studio, it's late at night, you've been working on the same
thing.
You've done it a million times. You get goofy, you get like punchy. So everybody's making jokes to kind of like ease the tension so people aren't freaking out because, believe me, I've been in that situation too where, play the solo again.
He does that during the podcast. I don't know if you noticed that.
You know, it's just like over and over, and you just lose your mind. So they're doing, so they come up with this thing that sort of, somebody says it and it sticks and it just becomes a kind of inside joke that we all got to share in. And I think that's the very cool part about
yes.
it. You know, so there's this like kind of inside joke that they share with the audience, and it has been legendary for years. I remember when I was in, what year was this released again?
83.
83. So I was not quite.
It was January of 83.
January of 83. So I would have been, I would have been a junior in high school. Yeah. And we would talk about this. And we all thought that it was German for 1, 2, 3, 4.
Well, I mean, and it's German gibberish.
In a sort of weird way, it sort of is. But it wasn't, you know. So and we everybody put to argue. Nah, that's not, you know what you're talking about. You're a moron. Go back and listen to, all you listen to is The Doors anyways. What do you know? Well, did you have people in high school like that had a band?
I managed the only band in high school.
No, that's not what I mean. That's not what I mean.
Oh, like they had their band?
They had their band.
Yes.
And there were always guys. There was like a Joe Doors.
Yeah.
And it was a Mike Van Halen.
Yeah, my ex-husband, Andy Zeppelin.
Yeah. There was a Steve U2. There was a Kevin Rush
or Andy Rush, because those were his two favorite bands. Were Zeppelin.
It's just like everybody had this. Is I don't know if you young whippersnappers have that, but mm-hmm. you guys are older. You guys will all know that was a total high school thing. Everybody had their so band, was. You know, and you would be proud of it. And you'd wear the shirt or whatever
every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
A couple other fun things about that song. I don't know if anybody watches Supernatural, but it is in the climactic scene of the season 5 finale. And there's a whole rock opera named after this song
that's right.
dedicated to the 80s glam scene with many amazing songs. And I don't actually think Rock of Ages is actually the song is in the musical or the movie, but the title is. So that makes it cool.
Cool beans. Okay, great song. What can you say about Rock of Ages except we're not worthy?
Except for Lily takes her clothes off. If
how
she hears
about
it,
the next too much. Song?
The next song is Coming Under Fire, Come In Under Fire, which is like... Dumb. Well, another, my third favorite song on the album, kind of ballad-like. It's about a hard-to-get woman. Not much is found on this song as far as trivia that I could find. Lou might have a little more insight. But I think it's a great example of how Leopard can go from soft to hard and back again in like a single song. You know, rock, pop, so.
I think this record is their crowning achievement. I'm not as big a fan as of the records after this. I thought they had to hit just the right balance, but bands have to. Well, what's the next thing? We already did that. We don't want to do that again. There's only certain bands that can get away with doing the same album over and over. AC/DC, right?
Iron Maiden.
You know, Iron Maiden. There's a handful of bands that can get away with that. Most bands have to evolve and try different stuff. Speaking of that, this is a band called Magnum, and they just want you to know this song is like a public service announcement. Just in case you didn't know, it's called You Can't Run Faster Than Bullets. So just we want you kids at home to know that, okay? You know, when you're doing your drive-bys or whatever, just remember that.
Yeah.
That's Magnum. You want to go to magnumonline.co.uk. You guys in England got some weird URL BS going on. You guys need to fix that.
You need to stop your nonsense.
Magnumonline.co.uk. So, .co.uk. That was a horrible. I think that these guys have really copped the Aldo Nova guitar tone.
I
kind of heard the Aldo Nova kind of thing happening at the end there.
So
we just have a little bit more to talk about pyros for you pyros.
Two more songs.
And then there was a band called Porno for Pyros, which was a Def Leppard tribute band.
Anyway,
it was not.
It's not.
But that's like a lie. But yeah.
And the next song under Coming Under Fire, because I'm going to ignore Lou, is Action Not Words. I like the song, but not one of the most memorable songs on the album. Definitely a B-side, in my opinion.
Well, we're winding. See, this is the thing you guys don't, again, young guys don't understand
sorry,
about
B-side.
Albums, about albums. You know, you wanted to lead with your best stuff. And then when you flip the album over, you wanted a pretty good song to open. That's why Full and Open side too. But
it's not very inspiring. I mean, it's a good song. It's definitely Leppard. It's not, but it's not overly exciting. It's just sort of a song to get you to the next song. In my opinion.
Okay.
B-side is B-side, meaning that side of the B-side. Record. Sorry. Aging myself just slightly.
Yeah, that was, so that's how things went in the 70s, 60s, 70s, and 80s. Album rock kind of started.
It went through 60s, into the mid-80s.
Early 70s, all the way through the 80s. Even to somewhat, there's some albums in the 90s that are great albums. What was interesting in the 90s, there's a lot of people that did the one great album. And then they couldn't. Then they couldn't do another.
They couldn't make up for it.
And history, you know, it's like the Gin Blossoms. They put out that record, and like every song was on the radio. There was three number one hits. Blah, 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 Giant. And then
bye.
Yeah, the second record they couldn't do it. They just couldn't make it happen. But this it was a different era. Bands of this era, what people don't understand is this isn't Def Leppard's first album. This isn't their second album. This is what, their third? Yeah, it's their third album. And they've also made a lineup change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Phil Collin.
It's the first record. This is the record that introduces us to Phil Collin.
Who's amazing.
And in that era, though, bands could kind of take a little time to sort of find themselves. Nowadays, you've got to be, boom.
You got to make the next best thing right now.
And I noticed this in the 90s. When I was in bands and we had gone to different showcases and stuff like that and talked to different record label people, and everybody was like, we want you to have it all together now. Like,
we don't have time.
We can't like spend money on 2-3 records for you to sort of like
make it.
Yeah. You know, we can't do, they weren't doing development deals anymore. That was over. And that was a giant signpost that the music business was really changing even before high speed internet and MP3. But Def Leppard was a band, Rush, a lot of bands like that, we had time to do records and just to kind of feel it out and see where we were going to go. And now that producer wasn't quite right. Let's bring somebody else in. And, you know, they struck gold with this record. And I believe that Mutt Lange was a hot commodity after coming off of Back in Black.
Mm-hmm.
And For Those About to Rock, those were, you know, giant records. And Back in Black is one of those records where that record is literally all killer.
It's gold.
That's one of those records where every song got played on the radio. Every song got played on the radio. Even they were album cuts, but everyone got played on the radio. Some of these did not. So what are we down?
The final song on the album is Billy's Got a Gun. Closing song, definitely more atmosphere than anything else. On this song, it's also the longest song on the album, just shy of 6 minutes. Storytelling kind of song. It's gritty, it's rock, and I think it's a perfect way to sew up this entire album, an epic ending to the whole thing.
Something that you guys might want to know about this album, stopping the band from achieving their first number one album was a guy you may heard of, Michael Jackson with Thriller. He was also at number one on the top 100 singles chart with Beat It. Thriller spent 22 weeks at number one in 1983 and 15 more in 1984.
Yeah.
So, like,
nobody was touching that.
As great as this record was, man, nobody was going to touch Thriller.
Nope.
I mean, that is just, you know, that's the climate in which this album was released. It was released while Thriller was out.
Here's an answer.
6 million copies had been sold by November 19. Is that the one you wanted to say?
No, but I just, you know how you asked me earlier about how it became diamond. To be diamond, it's 10 million. I mean, they were how many? What was that? 6 million?
Yeah.
By 1984. So obviously not much longer.
Oh, wow. Yeah. They were already 6 million by 1984. So, and this is another thing, guys, a lot of people forget about records. That records lasted a long time.
Yeah.
You could put a record on it. People would remember that. Like Michael Jackson's album, that was, you know, really an extreme example. But when you put that record out, people thought of it as your new record for months and months and months.
Yeah,
and
not like now where everything's so fast.
That record was 2 weeks ago. What are you talking about? That's not new.
Yeah. Everything's so fast paced now.
So you had, and so records had that time to, bands had the time to gather word of mouth for their tour. They had time to get like a little bit of airplay, have some fans hear it, request it, get a little more airplay and have it build up like that. But today we have this boom. It's either you either hit or miss. And I think the music suffers for that.
I agree.
Play the songs for a while. Let people try them out and see what happens, you know. But, you know, everybody is on that mobile device, and we're so used to instant satisfaction. If something doesn't grab us, I remember there's a lot of songs. Name a song before we get out of here today. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go over to our private group and we're going to do this, but here's going to be the questions. Name a song, at least one, that when you first heard it, you're kind of, but then you went like, after the radio beat it at you for, you were like, you know what? I'm digging it. So we're going to be talking about that. Go to lulombardirocks.com if you want to get into our private group. We continue the conversation over there. You guys been listening to Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. Our website is ludinirockandrollcircus.com. Check back often. Shout out to Chris Thunderwolf Dotson at Wolf's Customs. Wolf'sCustoms.online. Don't go on stage with a boring-ass guitar. Get Chris to give you custom finish on your guitar. You tell him Lou sent you. You're going to like it.
Oh, my God. Happens.
What else? So, Lily?
My show is Hot Licks with Lily 6, 6 p.m. on Thursdays, Rock Rage Radio. Don't forget to sub Alpine, need your help. And don't forget to vote for Zosha from Reign of Z. She is in the contest to be Inked Magazine's cover girl for 2020. So go vote for her.
Reign of Z is one of the Ludini Rock and Roll Circus's favorite bands. We love those guys. So I'll play some Reign of Z next week. Guys, thank you so much for hanging out. Have a great week. Don't forget this politics season. Just tune it out. Get on Rock Rage Radio. All rock, no politics, including the Rock Ludini Rock and Roll Circus. You guys have a great week. We'll catch you next time.
She dressed your car. Every time.